this evening.
Might be a standard thing. Like, read the word a lot. Just starting to turn their Bibles to John, chapter 1, verse 1. We all know this scripture, but just for an introduction. It says, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Amen. We'll just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you once again that we can meet in this place, Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, that there you are in the midst. Lord, I believe that you're in our midst here tonight, Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we're going to have a time with you where we give you the worship, the praise, and the honor. And Lord, we just share something, Lord, to encourage us. And Lord, to bless us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity that we can come here tonight. Worship you and praise your mighty name. And Lord, if there's a need here tonight, Lord, we are confident that we can go to you and ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll hear and answer our prayer. Lord, I just pray for the remainder of this service that you bless it. Bless me, Lord, and help me to bring something across from your word, Lord Jesus Christ, to bless your people. For sin and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted to share just a quick thought tonight. If it was a title, Tommy asked me would I have a title. And I've been thinking about the provenance of the Word of God. You know, I spoke about this maybe a few years back. I mentioned it one hour Wednesday night. But I've been thinking about it recently again. And it's the provenance. If you don't know what provenance is, provenance, it means the origin of something. History, authenticity, and it can also add value to something. And when you think of the Word of God, it has the origin, because here's it says in the beginning was the Word. This is the original Word here. It's the Word of God, and this is the Word we have tonight. And God dwelt alone with his thoughts. But you know, once he said in Genesis, let there be light, light came forth. And when he spoke and he says, let there be, and something came forth, that was the Word going forth. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of our creation of God. And we know that was the beginning of our creation, how God created the heavens and the earth. But when I think about the provenance of the Word of God, and in order to try and explain maybe more of a detail about provenance, if you had, we see these flags and these banners around the walls here. We see this Union Jack. But if I went and I bought that Union Jack, it has a value. And maybe, I don't know what that flag would cost. Say it's cost £50, and I could go today and I could buy a flag and give them £50, and I get myself a Union Jack. That's just a Union Jack anybody can get. But if that flag, say that flag was in the bottle of the song, and that flag was carried by a corporal from Belfast that went over that trench on the Somme, and he carried that in the bottle, and maybe he fell, he was shot and he fell, and somebody else lifted it and they carried it, and maybe they took a position. There's something, that flag is no longer worth £50. That flag has a history, it has a provenance, and it has a value to it, because when somebody sees that flag, they can say, that flag has a story behind it. That flag has a significance. That's not just an ordinary flag. That flag, you know, there's something about it. When I see that flag, it tells me that history of that man. It tells me about that, where it was with the war. Maybe it's a bit tattered. Maybe there's something that's happened. Maybe it's a bit ripped. You could say, well, there's it burnt there. And you know why it's burnt around them edges? Maybe it's burnt because, you know, maybe a shell exploded near it. And that's what provenance is. And you know something about provenance? A forger that forges art, If he just got a picture and he just painted it and copied it, you know, the chances are that somebody, an expert, would say, that's a forgery. It's a great forgery, but that's a forgery. But you know what the best forgers do? They create a story, and they give that piece of art a provenance. And they don't only just create a picture and paint a picture. They maybe create a history, and it's not a true history, but it's a fake, excuse me. And they maybe will forge documents to say, well, this piece of art. Maybe they'll say, well, we have a good authority that such and such a painter painted, instead of painting just six paintings, he actually painted a seventh painting. And this seventh painting, you know, we believe it was lost for years, that somebody had it. Maybe it was in Italy, and it has come into somebody's possession, and their grandfather had it, and he bought it off somebody that had traveled, that knew the painter. And they create this backstory, and you know, people have done that. And they have taken experts, and they have actually conned people, and they've took money off them because they've created a provenance to it. And when people hear that story, it tickles them, and they say, well, they no longer just look at the painting for what it is, but when they look at it, everything in their mind, they hear and they go back on that story, and it convinces them. But you know, we have something here tonight that convinces us, and it's the Word of God. And John mentioned it on Sunday in 2 Peter, and it says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. In 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You do well that ye take heed, because this isn't just an ordinary word, this is the Word of God. You know, this is the word that come from the living God. This is it, and says, take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now this word, it's a light. What does it say? It says a light unto your path, and a lamp unto your feet. This is the Word of God. And it says, it shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So this word has a provenance, and it hasn't been made up by a man. It's not of some man's private interpretation. But it says it's Scripture. It's not of any private interpretation. You can't put your own interpretation on it. If God says it, God says this is how it is. Man shall marry a woman that's married. That's God's word. He says, thou shalt not kill. That's God's word. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before you. That's God's word. It's not a private interpretation where somebody would say, well, God's word says, do not have any other God before you. But we'll maybe join an organization, and when we open it, we'll open it with a word of prayer, and we'll pray to the great architect of the earth or the universe. They might not even know it, but they're praying to an our God. They're not praying to the God of this Bible. Because if you have to pray to the God of this Bible, you know what you have to do? You have to address him by his name. It says, do all. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you address him. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So my man couldn't just sit down and say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit here until I get something, and I'm going to write it, and this will be it. It's not by your will. It's not matter how long you sit there. But what is it? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe that these men got in a position where the Holy Ghost would move on them and speak through them. They didn't just come anyway. These were holy men. It says they were holy men. And this is what the provenance of the Word of God. So from the start, it gives it a value. This is the thing here tonight. This word has a value. Our Bibles have a value. Because you might lift any book, and there's some good books, and there's some good history books. But you know the thing about history books? History books, some people can say, right, that's the word of that there is a good word, that's our version of history. But then somebody can else and say, well, that's your version of history, but our version of history is this. And you know, the greatest example of that is the Troubles in Northern Ireland. You'll get two different histories. One's man's heroes and our man's terrorists. And that's the way things are. But this word here, excuse me, it doesn't work like that because it's of no private interpretation. I mean, I think, well, if this is a provenance, it means it's the origin, it's the beginning. So if I want to see what God's word and what God thinks about something, I can go back to this book. And if I go back to this book and I can look in it and I can see, well, there's, what about temptation? People say in this day and age they're tempted. Oh, I was tempted of the devil. I fell into temptation. But you know what? If we look in the word of God in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, and you know what Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 is? It's when Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And in verse 1 of chapter 4 it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But here's what Jesus done. It says, but he answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what did Jesus do? He gave him the word. Where did he give him the word from? He gave him the word out of Deuteronomy. You know, and if you go through the word and you give all these answers where the devil tempted him, and even in one case the devil says, cast yourself down and he'll give his angels charge over you, that you not dash your foot against the stone. You know that, what did he use? He used the word of God that God had inspired David in the Psalms to write. And that's the word that he was quoting to Jesus. But Jesus, when he was tempted, what did he do? He didn't start a physical fight with him and wrestle. He didn't start that. He just gave him the word and he says, it is written. It's written. You know, man shall not live by bread alone. He gave him the word and he says, when he says, fall down here and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms. He says, it is written, I shall have no other God before thee. He used the word that was already written for our behalf, for our benefit in Deuteronomy. And that's what Jesus used. You know, Jesus didn't use something that we didn't have. He used something that we have tonight that we can also use. When you think about healing, and people say today, oh, healing's not for today. Well, we don't believe that. Excuse me. But you know, the word of God, you can look through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that covers the ministry of Jesus on the earth when he was here bodily in there on the earth, and that covers Jesus' ministry. And it's full of healing. It's full of miracles. And if, you know, if it's in this word, it's the original. It's the origin. It's a big, you know, that's, it's the origin of these things. And if that's the beginning, you know, where are we? We are at the end times. And I believe we're in the end times today, but we have the still the exact same word. And we can look at it and we can say, well, there's Jesus. And you know, we can see, well, here, what happens when he meets the man that was sick of the palsy? And this man was sick of the palsy from his birth. And when he couldn't stand, he couldn't walk. And you know, he had friends, and they were great friends, and they brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus seen him, he had compassion on him. And you know, we ought to have compassion on our brothers and sisters and people that need to God, that need maybe a physical touch in their life. And he had compassion on him. And when he's seen their faith, he says, thy faith has saved thee and made thee whole. And he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you know, who was there? The doubters were there. The Pharisees, the religious men, they were all there. And you know what? They weren't thinking of a mind of faith. They were thinking of the natural, and they were thinking of the law, and thinking, well, our organization, we would say, who gives that man the right to forgive sins? He said to him, was it thy sins be forgiven thee? Take up thy bed and walk. And the man got up, that was the thing. And they said, this man here, Who gave him power to forgive sins? And Jesus knew what they were thinking and he perceived it. And he says to them, what's easier? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, the Son of God hath power, I say unto the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk. And he got up and he walked. And, you know, he glorified and he praised God. And I'm sure that man, you know, such a change in that man's life. And such a value that come to his life. There was value added to him. You know, we're talking so much about value added tax at the minute. And everybody's struggling and they're going to give you a bit off tax in 2 years' time and something like this. But here was value added to this man. He got his healing, a full restoration. And what happened? The Pharisees there, they weren't happy at all. And you know what happened? When Peter and John went to that temple in Acts chapter 3, and Gary sings it regular, and says, Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. And in Acts, Jesus had been crucified, and he's died, and he's rose again, and he's went to heaven. But here's these men, Peter and John. Peter has the keys to the kingdom. And we heard such a good service our brother John preached. And Peter, he had that revelation who Christ was. And Jesus says to him, listen, you give you the keys to the kingdom. But here's Peter and John, two real strong, good disciples. And they go to that temple and they see that man there. And I believe them men were there when Jesus said to the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk. And when they thought to themselves, what would Jesus do in a situation like this? You know what they've done? They've done the exact same. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what happened? The man leaping up, Steve, they reached down and they took him by the hand. They weren't waiting for him. They maybe hadn't time for him even to take faith to stand up. They reached down and they took his hand and they grabbed him and they pulled him up. And he leaping up, stood. And God done again what he'd done when Jesus was here. He'd done with his disciples. And you know what the Word of God says? It says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he'd done it then, he'll do it now. What is it? It's to realize the power in God's Word. It's to realize the value of the Word of God that we have tonight. It's to realize that God, if he ever done it once, he can do it again. When you think of all sorts of... There's so much stuff in the Bible. When we think of when Jesus, when he'd been talking, was it to Nicodemus? And he says unto him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, he couldn't get his head around it. And Jesus explained to him. And after that, he was pressing through the crowd and there was a wee woman. And she had an issue of blood so many years in her life. And she says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. And you know what? Her faith, just a little bit of faith was enough to touch that hem of the garment. And as soon as she did, that issue of blood dried up and she was made whole. And you know something? If we can just get that faith tonight and just touch, by faith, touch the hem of his garment, God will hear and answer our prayers again. And I believe virtue goes out from him and it changes lives. And after that, it says there was a certain ruler. And who was that certain ruler? It was Jairus. He was a ruler in the synagogue. And he come by Jesus. And you know, that man had a need. And all them are leaders of that synagogue. A lot of them, they hadn't time for Jesus. They were able to criticize him. They were able to say, by what authority does this man do this? He heals on the Sabbath. He's not of God. But you know something about Jairus? You know what he had? He had a daughter 12 years of age that was dead. It put some difference, some spin in his life. You know, he wasn't worried then. He hadn't time to think, oh, is this man right? Is he all to the law? You know, we have been taught for years to do this and we can't do that. But if somebody's dying in your family, especially a daughter or a son, 12 years of age, it would soon waken you up, as they say. It would soon give you a bit of a shake-up. And what did he do? He says, well, this man, and I've seen him, he's done miracles. What did he do? He says, Jesus, I have a daughter at home and she's dying. And I need you to come and pray for her. And I believe if you come and you'll pray for her, you shall be healed. And when Jesus says, you know what Jesus, he didn't say, well, no, you're one of them Pharisees, I'm not going to you. you don't believe anything. He says, I'm coming now. And he was on his way to Jairus' house. And when he got there, you know what? They come with the bad news. And they said, your daughter's dead. And Jesus, he says, no, she sleepeth. She doeth well, she's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn because she was dead. But Jesus, what they didn't realize was here was the word of God. This same word of God from the beginning that was made flesh. Here he was standing here in the veil of flesh. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And he walked into that room. And maybe them people, there was a couple of the disciples was there and the mother and the father, and he put the rest all out. And he said, what did he do? He took her by the hand. He said, made her rise. And immediately she arose. She came back to life. And we think, oh, that was Jesus. But what happened when Peter done the, what did he do? Peter done the exact same thing. When that girl Tabitha, that disciple, that woman, that follower, that Christian, you know, we could call her a Christian. And there she was, an old saint, and she died. What did he do? He done the exact same thing. He went into that room, and he says, Tabitha, arise. And you know what? The same God that answered and heard the prayer when his only begotten son spoke and said, Jairus' daughter made arise. When Peter says, Tabitha, arise, the exact same thing happened. And here's this woman came back to life, and she ministered unto them. You know, that's our God. That's the value of our word. That's the value of our God. There's many other so-called gods in the world. So many different religions. But I've never read of anybody anywhere in their history. Not that I've read a whole lot of it. But can you tell me any of these are gods where you can say, well, here's somebody that was dead. 4 days they were in the grave. And here's our God come and said, come forth. And the dead, the man that was dead for 4 days came forth. You not read about it. You not read about it where the storm was raging and they thought they were going to perish on the sea. And he stood up in the middle of the boat and he says, peace be still. And the storm calmed. You not read about it in these our religions, these our gods. You know, you'll read about maybe wars and rumors of wars and about how to do if somebody doesn't believe what you believe. To cut their head off or do something like that. That's not a God of love. It's not a God at all. You know, when men in the Bible took upon themselves and thought that they were something, and thought that they were great, God brought them down low. When Herod was it Herod, and they made a great feast to him in one part of the Bible, and he stood up and he thought that he was some guy. God smote him down right there and then. Smote him and he died and the worms consumed him. You know that our God is a living God tonight. That's the difference. Amen. He died and he rose again. That's the difference tonight. We have a living Savior. He says, I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is able, no matter what men say. You know, we have something tonight. When you think about what God has prophesied would happen. When you think about Israel tonight, we see all this stuff going on in the Middle East and in Russia and so forth. But when you think about what is God, what time are we really at? When we see this war in Ukraine, we know in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. But God, you know, God said that he would scatter Israel. And you'll read in Amos chapter 9, and I'll turn to it. You can turn to it if you like. In Amos chapter 9, and this is God speaking and he's through the prophet Amos, and in verse 9, it says, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Now, did that or did that not happen? That happened. Israel went out of their land. Nebuchadnezzar, that king, came, and he took them into bondage. And they were in bondage in captivity 70 years. And they went throughout the whole earth. You know, there was hardly a nation where the Jewish people didn't go through. And we know by the time of the First and the Second World War, you know, Palestine, there wasn't that many actual Jews in it. It was all full of Arabs, and there was Jews, and there was different, and the British were there too, and the Muslims, and the Syrians, and so forth. And, you know, these people that had, God had promised that land to Abraham, and he said he would give it to him for a possession. And here's the people, you know, but because of their unbelief and the way they performed, God said he would scatter them, and he did scatter them. And he scattered them throughout the whole earth. But you know what? In Amos chapter 9, verse 14, here's what it says. It says, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which as I have given them, saith the Lord thy God." And you might have read that, and you might say, well, how is God ever going to do that? But you know what happened? Two world wars happened. And after that Second World War, the Jewish people had been murdered so much. 6.5 million that we know about of them were murdered by the Nazis. They were murdered, took to them gas chambers, shot, threw into mass graves, bulldozed into graves. And God, he brought that people after that Second World War. What did he do? He brought them back into that land of Israel. And he gave them a nation once again. And they became a nation. And you know what? Tonight, look at Israel tonight. They took a land that was barren. And they've done exactly what this word says here. They planted vineyards. They planted gardens. And they eat the fruit of them. Look at the much fruit and the much produce that is in Israel tonight. In that whole area, the waste. You know, it's not our country around there like that. Israel is one of the main producers of all these different fruits and so forth. And not only that, they are one of the leading countries when it comes to medical breakthroughs, inventions. A lot of these procedures, a lot of these things that have been invented for good. You know where it's come from? It's come from Israel. I'm led to believe that the most Nobel Peace Prize winners are Israelis. And God said he would bring them back here again. And in Matthew it says, "Learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is tender and bringeth forth, know that the time is near." We are near that end time tonight. That there shows you the providence of this word of God. It shows you the value that we have in this word of God. It shows you that God said it here 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago in this book of Amos, 2,000 years ago in the book of Matthew, where he said he'd bring them forth and bring them into a nation again. And it's happened. You know, it's 80 years, is it, from Israel has become a nation again. And they're a strong nation tonight. And there's no thing about them. God, we know that God has worked with them miraculously. How that they, when they became a nation and Britain really done the badness on them when they pulled out overnight, thinking that the Arabs would come in and take over and that would be the problem over. But God fought for them and they overcome 7 Arab nations within such a short space of time. And then it was in 1967 in that 6 day of war when they came in against them again and thought, you know what happened? Israel took even more ground. They took even more back. And you know, I believe they'll take even more again. I don't know how. We don't know what way things will happen. And my own belief is maybe this whole war in Ukraine at the minute, and we see how Russia's rising up. And we know through a vindicated prophet that he says Russia was that king of the north, and he says, you watch that king of the north. And we know that king of the north will come in against Israel, will come in down against the unwalled village. And we believe by the word of a prophet that that'll be Russia coming in against them. And maybe you'd say, well, why would they do that? Why would they do that? But I'm only saying myself, I believe maybe when we see this whole thing at the minute where energy and oil and Germany has something, most of their gas, they're reliant on Russia. Britain's not so bad. I think it's only like 6% of their oil and gas comes from Russia. But all these nations are so dependent. But you know, it says about Israel, they dip its toe in oil. You know, it wouldn't not surprise me that if Israel, they already have hit oil. They already have a gas field off the coast there of Gaza. They have already done that, but it would not surprise me that if they even strike even more oil, and the countries can bypass Russia and go to Israel, and maybe that'll give them a cause to come down against them. Now, I'm not saying that it'll happen, but you know, you have to ask yourself, why would Russia do that? I don't really understand fully, but I know that if the Word of God says that, it'll happen, because this Word's never wrong, and it'll give them occasion. We know another thing, we believe that it'll be Russia that'll destroy the Vatican. You know, once again, through a prophet. You know, that's the things that we have. But we have a Word of God tonight, a living Word, a Word that's true, a Word that never changes. When God said it, He made up His mind, He didn't change His mind. You know, when God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," He didn't, it's not that today that somebody calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But tomorrow, if a man or woman calls upon the name of the Lord, they might be saved. No, they will be saved. Because God's Word said it. You know, we're so lucky tonight that we have a Word, a living Word. We ought to be thankful for the martyrs, for men that give their lives for this Bible, for men that against the odds, you know, like we can see in, especially in this day now, where people's been persecuted, and people's been, in Ukraine's been bombed, and they're sheltering, and they're going through such a hard time. We ought to pray for them people that God wanted their being there. But men and women were burnt at the stake. They were put into barrels of spikes and rolled down hills. They were put out, they were staked out on the sea, that when the tide would come in, it would drown them. That's what men and women went through for this Word. For that, but you know what? We also know that that was the age of the ox, where the man, the beast of labor, the beast of sacrifice, we know that because of a prophet, once again, that come in the last 38, was able to explain that. That spirit went forth to counteract that spirit of Antichrist. And we know that that spirit of the man, that was them reformers, them boys that were able to translate the Bible, but that spirit of that ox was that beast of sacrifice. And men and women give their lives freely. They give it freely. Men that went to the stake. And one man I read off, I can't remember his name, and there was a few of them, but he was the first one to go to that stake to be burnt. And he says to him, "I'll give you a sign. If it is to be born, if this is a pain that can be borne, and that we can put up with for our gospel." And you know what? When they burnt that man and they lit that, them faggots around him, and them flames come up, he put his hand up. And when them our men seen that hand going up, they praised the Lord and they said, "It's able, we're able to bear this pain for the Lord." And in death, you know, they lit a fire, it says they lit a fire that never went out, and it hasn't went out, and it's still burning. You know, we ought to be so appreciative tonight. We ought to praise God that we've come here, that we can come here tonight, and there mightn't be many of us, but we can come here freely. And we can worship the Lord and we can say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you that we're able to come and approach you." And when people all around us might seem that the world's going the wrong way, and when our friends are going the wrong way, and maybe our families are going the way that we don't want them to go, that we can come here to a sanctuary and we can praise and worship our Lord and approach Him. And you know, we can approach Him. How do we approach Him? Through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that God will hear and answer prayers. And I'm going to stop. It's just after 20 past. And I want us to have time to pray tonight. And we want to sing chorus or whatever. And even though there's not that many of us, but let's try and worship the Lord. And you know, create an atmosphere of praise and worship tonight. Maybe we'll just pray again for a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we will come here this evening and worship you and praise your mighty name, and even just to read your word, Lord Jesus Christ, for there's a blessing in reading your word, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to worship you and praise you and give you the thanks and the honor and the praise, for you alone are worthy of us. And Lord, we approach you tonight, Lord, and we pray that you'll hear and answer our prayers. We pray, Lord, for our loved ones that know not you. We pray that you'll send your Holy Ghost Spirit upon them, and Lord, to convict them of their sin. Show them their need of salvation and save them in these days of grace, I pray. I pray for those that need a touch from you, a touch of healing in their body. I pray that you would, Lord, do it now, Lord Jesus Christ, for you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, if you ever said it once, and you ever done it once, you can do it again. And Lord, our faith looks up to thee, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray has already been prayed for your comfort and spirit, Lord, upon our sister Ray. And Lord, we know it's hard, Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we believe our brother Billy is in the glory tonight, I'm walking those streets of gold. But Lord, it's hard, Lord Jesus Christ, when a loved one leaves this earth. Because it'll be a while before we see them again. But we thank you that we will see them again in the glory, Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we pray for comfort upon their family, our sister Ray's family, for our pastor, for Ian and his family, and for Matthew and Aaron and Andrea and Philip and all the brothers, Lord Jesus Christ, and all those represented. And Lord, even for my mum and John and Bobby and Florence and Mary that has lost the brother, Lord, and still maybe raw, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you have comfort. And Lord, save those that's not saved, Lord Jesus Christ, so that the circle may not be unbroken in that by and by, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, come and have thy way in the remainder of this service, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I sanctify this building in and through your precious name. I pray that you come, Lord. Oh, Lord, come upon each and every one of us and help us to worship you. Bring that spirit of praise, Lord, as our brother John preached on Sunday, that when we speak, Lord, we create an atmosphere of praise, of worship, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I thank you tonight. I say, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee, Lord Jesus, tonight. Lord, for the remainder of this service, have thy way. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen.